before you had moved in, I had another roommate.
Yeah.
That was kind of messy. So I remember one day I asked Bonnie if he could take out the trash. And the next day the trash was still there. And I said something to Bonnie about it. And Bonnie said, "You are not my father. You are not my dad. Don't tell me what to do."
I'm Bonnie Kibuka. On my podcast, The Ugandan Boy Talk Show, I've had an honor to sit down with some of the most incredible hearts and minds from Uganda, like Miss Uganda Oliver Nakakande, Joram Mozoe Job, the Executive Director of Joram Model Management, Pastor Wilson Bugembe, and many, many more. On this podcast, you get to hear raw and real life stories of their journey, what they've been through, and the people that have inspired their journey so that they can make a difference in ours. Listen to the Ugandan Boy Talk Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. Join the journey soon. Brother Terry, welcome to the podcast, my brother.
Thank you for having me.
How have you been?
I've been well. Yeah. I've been well. Working a lot, but yeah. Thank God for work.
You are the second person in my podcast room. I like to share stories, and you've seen I host a lot of people from Uganda, and they share about their lives and their stories, and that's kind of where my podcast is at. Your life is a testimony, so I like other people to get to hear your life story. A lot of my friends back in Uganda to get to hear another person's life or perspective, but before we go into that, let's first run it back real quick. We met at Great Lakes Christian College, didn't we?
Yes, sir.
So do you remember how we met? Let's start from that.
Well, we were roommates, Bonnie. And truth be told, I enjoyed you as my roommate.
Okay.
But I know one of the biggest things that stuck out of my mind was when you first moved in. Mm-hmm. Before you had moved in, I had another roommate.
Yeah.
That was kind of messy. So I remember one day I asked Bonnie if he could take out the trash. And the next day the trash was still there. And I said something to Bonnie about it. And Bonnie said, "You are not my father. You are not my dad. Don't tell me what to do."
No, that is funny. Over time, I've had time to think about it. I've had time to think about back at that time, it hasn't taken this long, because we've been friends even before that, like after that. And I think in that time of being friends, because we worked together.
Oh, yeah.
So I ran it back and I'm like, you know, I was from Uganda. I'd never had a roommate. I was pretty grown, like I was old, so I didn't really work well with, like, we hadn't built a relationship together.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I took it as like, it's a command, you know, like this guy is just commanding me. I'm like, you're not my dad, you know, like you can't tell me what to do. But I think some things happen in life to help us to get better. So I feel like that incident right there, I think that's what kickstarted our relationship between you and I.
Oh, yeah.
So then we got better knowing each other and understanding each other. And I think after that, our relationship just grew and we got to know more about each other and Great Lakes. So how did you come to Great Lakes? How did you find out Great Lakes?
So it was really interesting, actually. I always talk about my Uncle Sam Moore a lot. God rest his soul, Bishop Sam Moore. But one thing that he was very big on is always pray about it. Pray first. So when I got to my it was my junior year of high school, we had a prayer group at my old high school, John F. Kennedy. We would meet around the flagpole at the beginning of the year and pray. And then most mornings, a little bit before school would start, a few of us would get together and we would pray over our day. I believe it was once a week that we would do that. And one of my friends, Blake Harden, had invited me to go to this church in Taylor, Michigan, called Metro City for after the flagpole.
Yeah.
So flagpole, I believe it's a national day of prayer where a lot of people meet around the flagpole at the beginning of the school year and they'll pray that God bless us. At least back then they did. I don't know if people still do that now. Mm-hmm. But he invited me. And when I went there, there was a booth for Great Lakes there.
Okay.
And I sent my information in. And when it got around the senior year, they sent me some more information. And when I found out that I could get a degree in biblical theology, mm-hmm. and I wanted to go into counseling, they also had that. That's what sold me on it.
Who was in the booth? Do you remember?
I do not.
Yeah. I know they send a lot of like students and some professors with them because I knew they did a few of those when I was there too. But yeah, that's cool. So it's funny because I don't think I've ever shared how I ended up at Great Lakes too. But I think after I'd finished that aviation school in Ionia, a friend of mine, John Hewlett, his wife knew Carter's wife, like Larry's mm-hmm. wife, because they were in admission and they connected me. I even came to Great Lakes and the open house, and then they were walking us through the school, and that's how I ended up there. But yeah, the life at Great Lakes, I'm thankful for it because I got to meet people like you, Q, who was here, Jaquin, and this is a long friendship that we've had till today. So it's amazing. In the summary, like, how was your time at Great Lakes? What did you like about it, or what didn't you like about it?
Just as a
general. We're not going to go into the whole topic.
Good. I don't think we have enough time on the podcast for me to go through all the love.
Yeah.
But one of the biggest things I really loved about Great Lakes, when I went there, that we were a community. Mm-hmm. We would get together. You know, not only would we worship together and have Bible studies together, but even outside of class and stuff that wasn't like necessarily you had to do, but we would go and walk East Lansing at night. Mm-hmm. I think during that time they had the game Pokemon Go.
Pokemon, yeah.
I never had a Pokemon Go anywhere.
Yeah.
But I would go with them, you know, just to have fun.
Yeah.
You know, I remember going with just different people on the weekend and going to the music stores and just mm-hmm. walking around Old Town and things yeah. like that, going and getting coffee. That's something I still love, is to go get coffee, you know.
And Horrocks.
Oh, yes. Definitely. Horrocks,
yeah.
Definitely
that,
Horrocks.
That was good. but yeah, Great Lakes was a good time. I like the relationship I made with people there. And I like that about schools. I think for schools, it's just the impact of friendship and relationship you make with people, because you're going to live with that, and these are the people are going to be in your life. You're still in my life. That's why we're here recording a podcast. So running back still, because I wanted to bring the listeners to how I met you and how you ended up here. So now at least they know a little bit. We met in college, and we graduated together. But where are you from exactly?
I'm from Detroit, Michigan.
Woo, woo, Detroit.
East Side, 7 Mile, hallelujah.
So you don't like us, we're from the West Side? I'm from West Side, Detroit.
See, I pray for you. Born and raised.
So, no, how was your life? Q was here on the podcast, and I asked him this question, because every time we get together, you guys throw some jokes at me. Yeah, like, you grew up in Uganda, and you could see like animals come out, or like you'd hunt with spears. And I always get back, you guys, like, growing up in environments where you'd hear gunshots. I know we mess mm-hmm. around with it, but, like, sometimes it's not real, sometimes it's real. How was that for you? Like, is it something you grew up, growing up in Detroit? A lot of people have a perception of Detroit. Like, yeah. whoever is going to listen, they've had stories. How was that for you growing up in Detroit?
So, with me, even though I lived on the East Side, you know, I never really thought it is as bad as people try to portray Detroit. Mm-hmm. Our neighborhood was relatively pretty good. I lived right around the corner from my elementary school that I walked to. Yeah. You know, so growing up, really, I never noticed a lot of that bad stuff. You know, it was pretty chill. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I can say it now because my family can't whoop me, but when I was in middle school, when I used to skip, you know, skip, go in for lunch, and then go sneak back out to school and skip again.
Yeah.
I got my diploma, so I can say it now. You know, I really never thought of it being bad. We did hear gunshots at time, you know, But our mom, my mom was born, like I said, my adopted mom that raised me, she was born in 1941.
Yeah.
So she was very overprotective of that. And I don't know if that's why I really just didn't think of it too much, mm-hmm. you know, or just being a kid, I really never really noticed how bad it was, you yeah. know. But that's kind of where, like, the protection of God came in mm-hmm. at, because all those times I skipped school and I was running around and doing stuff that everything I can't say, but doing stuff, you know,
yeah.
that it was God's provincial hand over me
yeah.
that I didn't run into any trouble, mm-hmm. you know. And I thank God really for that. I mean, yes, mm-hmm. I fought a lot in school. I yeah. definitely was a fighter. I fight in a drop of a hat because I liked fighting, you know.
So,
you know,
do you think, like, what's a, and I don't know if you know, but like, what's a part of Detroit that you would say, oh, that part, I'm not sure about it, but that part is pretty scary. Would you say like downtown, like in the city or?
Well, downtown is one of the best areas if you're okay. going to go into Detroit. Most people will say that the east side is the worst part for you to be on. But for me, I feel comfortable around it all because I've lived out there. Okay. I feel no different than when I'm in Lansing. You know, if I'm mm-hmm. in Lansing walking down the street to go to Horrocks, I feel no different if I'm going to walk down the street
right.
and go to the gas station. Granted, growing up, I walked around a lot. I went a lot of different places, so I never really felt afraid or scared, you know. Mm-hmm. We had to be in before the street lights came on, you know. Yeah. But I never felt fearful being really anywhere in the city, you know.
And that makes sense because today people have a perception of what Uganda looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Like they think about Uganda as poor, poverty, and they have the perception like we used to live in huts. But where I grew up, we didn't have huts. Like people had real houses, people drove cars. And I guess when people think about me, I'm from Uganda, they think about that. But like where I grew up and I was safe, I would go to places. But like when somebody sees something, or like they'll say Detroit is bad, so they will think the whole Detroit is bad, but there's some areas that are not as bad or are not bad, where people do live, like you were saying, you feel pretty comfortable. But people will say the east side is bad, but that's where you grew up and you were comfortable with it. So sometimes it's just the narrative that's spread around.
Mm-hmm.
It might be right, but like you're still alive, you live there, and you didn't see anything different about it. So, but growing up in Detroit, what was your favorite childhood memory?
One of my favorites, I've been a mama boy since day one.
Yeah.
So I used to love love sitting out on the porch. Perch. I don't know what I was about to say there, but go sitting out on the porch with my mom early in the morning. And I know she probably shouldn't have, but I sit there and drink coffee with her mm-hmm. early in the morning and watch the sun come up. That's probably one of my favorite yeah. memories. I mean, so many times we did that, but like I said, I was a mama's boy.
Yeah.
You know, so that's one of my favorite things to do.
And I remember when I had you for the first time on the podcast, it was over Zoom. It's on here if you want. Terry talks in depth about his mama and his life with his family. So if you want to know, I might not ask him a lot about his mama because I think and I know he talked about it because he talks about how he found out he was adopted and all that. So if you want to listen to his story, I'm not going to make him re-say it here. So you just go back. I know it was an old one. The sound might be terrible, but it is what it is. You can hear. So this question has been coming up a lot in my head. We've been friends since 2017, 2016, Great Lakes time. And us being together, you see what people perceive about you, people think about you. What do you think people misunderstand about you?
Well, a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. 'Cause I'm somebody, I truly, truly do love God.
Right.
But I have an attitude problem. And that's not to downplay it, 'cause it's wrong, you know. So if somebody does not know me, they may think I'm a very mean person. They may think that I'm not a very loving person. But when you get in and you get to know me, you know, I say the other word, but I skip the other word people call me.
Yeah.
You know. But you know, I think that's one of the biggest things that people misunderstand about me is when they don't truly know me, they may think I'm a really mean person, you know, or somebody that don't care.
Yeah.
But I mean, as you know, I love people very hard. Mm-hmm. You know, I try to be very forgiving with people. But at times, my attitude does get the best of me, you know?
And like that goes back to what we just talked about at first when we were roommates, because I didn't know you.
Mm-hmm.
So my perception of me in my head was like, this guy is mean. He doesn't like me. He's screaming at me. But when we got to know each other, then we built a friendship, like a brotherhood. So like then I got to know who you are because I lived with you and I saw you and I got to learn. So I think I can connect with that when you say it, because I was in that position too. Like probably the first time you told me to take out trash, I was like, who is this guy who is telling me what to do? Like,
right.
I don't like this guy. And probably that's why like I was like, oh, I'm going to move out or something like that. But yeah, I could see that. And seeing other people, like I could see why some people would think like that. We've had a lot of talks together about life, about success and everything we've achieved. What is the biggest failure in your life that you can remember, and what did you learn from it?
My biggest failure.
Yeah.
Man, I've had so many failures, yeah. Honestly. But I say the biggest failure is, and I'm a talk about Great Lakes Christian College, and everybody know where I'm going.
Right.
Me and the president had a disagreement, you know, and once again, I let
clarify the previous
former president.
Okay.
Had a disagreement, and I let my attitude get the best of me, you know, and I know better, and I shouldn't. You know, I should have kept myself and kept my tongue, mm-hmm. but I lost my temper and I swore at him, you know. Now I am a minister in the Lord's church. Like I said, I'm a very loving person and stuff like that. But that was, and you know, from me swearing at him, of course, I lost my job. You right. know, I was let go from working at Great Lakes Christian College. Of course, you cannot swear at the Christian College president, exactly. You know.
Yeah.
That's just a big no-no. Mm-hmm. But to me, that's one of the biggest failings that I had, because with me being somebody who works in the church and who is a minister and somebody who says he loves God, to let emotions get so high mm-hmm. that I step out of who I am as a person, you know. And I really had to do a lot of deep soul searching, mm-hmm. you know. And I really had to do a lot of praying and looking at myself, you know, because I want to be who God has called me to be.
Right.
And there's other times, there's so many times I can tell you where I have failed God, you know.
And I'm like, sorry to cut you short, but like that, we've all failed. And that's mm-hmm. why I have this question. Like, I can't count how many times I've lost my temper and I've, like, I did it to my brother and it kills me till today. I know my brother forgot about it.
Mm-hmm.
We're good now. But like I would lose my temper and find the most hurtful thing
mm-hmm.
in my brother. And that's what I would tell him. Like I would call him. Like my brother struggled with school. And I knew that. Like I was not struggling at school. And at some point we're in the same class. So whenever I would snap, I would tell him that, hey, that's why you perform bad in class. That's why you do this. But he had other struggles that he went through. Like, I'm not proud of that. Like, I'm not happy about that. But that's something I learned. And through our failures is how we learn and mm-hmm. get better. And so that's why I like the question. And it's good that we all fail. And it's good to know that we do fail, but we also learn from those failures. And I think through our failures is when we learn the most. So if there's one thing you could remember, what could that be?
Like from...
No, from... This is a different question.
Oh, okay, just and totally... Yeah, okay. Just one thing to hold on to, kind of.
Yeah, so like if... Let's say you're going to lose your memory.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one thing you want to remember. What could that be?
One thing I would say is it is well.
Yeah.
With my soul.
Right.
That's something that I try to hold on to all the time. You know, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever state I find myself in, if I can remember that, it is well.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, I know that I'm in the hand of God. Mm-hmm. No matter what troubles may come, you know.
Preach.
No matter if I have food at home tonight, no matter if I don't know where I'm going to lay my head at, it is well with my soul, you know.
I like that answer for very many reasons. And there's a whole, I think every time I speak to somebody, there's a reason why I want to speak. There's like I could have got my podcast into comedy, but I like to do real life stories that somebody can listen to it and then they change their lives. What you just mentioned there, that if you know you don't have, like if you don't have food or something, you just remember it is well with your soul. And that goes back to my people back in Uganda, because I know a lot of people are poor and a lot of people could strive to get a meal to eat. Like here in America, we're blessed that we can have 3 meals a day. But I want them to remember and pick on that. Like, it is well. It doesn't even have to be food. But like remembering that it is well. Through any situation, it is well. And I remember, for me, it was when I first came to America. And like I mentioned this the last time, like I was dependent on people. But trusting in God with all your heart. Like, for me, my mind will tell me, you don't have the money to buy food. You don't have the money to pay for your school. But remember, trust in God with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Because my understanding will tell me, you don't have the money. You don't have it. And I really did not have it. But just trust in God. And like for you to be able to remember that it is well, it brings peace and comfort to know that it is well and God will take care of it. What's the biggest compliment you've ever got?
The biggest compliment I've ever gotten is just that no matter what happens in my life, that I stand for God, that I love God no matter what I've been through.
Yeah.
You know, I've been through a lot of loss in my life. I've been through many people dying. I've been through friendships and relationships just falling apart. I've been through times where I didn't know how I was going to pay my bills. You know, I've been through sickness a few years ago, how sick I was, you know, and to the point that I thought I was getting ready to go to leave here. You know, I thought I was getting ready to die. But one of the biggest things people have told me is that I kept my faith in Jesus, you know?
I can remember that. Because there was a time we were in college, you could lose like a family member like every other week. Every other week you'd say, hey, man, I got to go to Detroit. I lost my aunt. Hey, man, this person died. I'm like, how is this guy strong enough to even keep going? Because somebody's dying. Somebody's dying. Like, you lose people. But, yeah, I think that's a huge compliment to get, that you're strong enough and standing with your faith in God because of what has happened in your life. I can't imagine, there's a lot of things that you might not be able to say, but what you can share with us is already a lot for people to even like take in. Now the compliments are done. What is the biggest insult you
I don't think you want me to say that. I'll take the words out.
Okay.
One of the biggest insults I've ever received was my second year of college. A friend of mine came to me. For those that don't know, I was born in the apostolic denomination, Christian, but apostolic. So when I came to Great Lakes Christian College, which is more of Reformed Church of Christ, or Church of Christ, not Reformed, excuse me, but Church of Christ, they taught and they believed differently. But being a boy from Detroit, and very apostolic and very 100% believed everything I was taught, you know, believed everything, every way that I was raised, and I would stand on that. God knows I believed in speaking in tongues. God knows I believe in praying and fasting and doing all that different things. And I would tell people, you know, this is the way I was raised. This is what I believe. So one of the things that the friend, when he set me down the second year, they said that I was one of the most arrogant people because I didn't want, they said, why you come here if you're not going to listen to what the professor's teaching?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go ahead and quote your scriptures to prove your point.
Yeah.
You're just arrogant and you don't want to humble yourself and listen to nobody, you know? And I think that was one of the biggest, like, me, arrogant?
Yeah. I got a question to ask to follow up with that. So, like, growing up in an apostolic church and coming to a Church of Christ at Great Lakes, are there things in your life that changed after going to Great Lakes, or you just pretty much stayed the same, like nothing changed?
Well, yes, it was a lot of things that changed. And family, I love you, my family. I do love you.
I don't want you to get in trouble.
You're good. There are some things that have definitely changed in my life because I didn't know a lot. You know, like Great Lakes taught me how to exegete instead of eisegete, you know, taught me how to look at the scripture in a proper way and to go through it and look at the time period and the whole context of the scripture. You know, one of the biggest things, I might get in trouble, but I'm going to say it, is speaking in tongues.
Right.
I was taught, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not going to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But as I went to Great Lakes, and I seen, well, these people have the fruit of the Spirit. These people are doing the work of God, yet I've never heard them speak in a tongue. You know, that made me question.
Right.
You know, and that goes along with different loved ones I lost, you know, during that time that never spoke a tongue. But yet, they lived a life. Whereas, and I'm not speaking about anybody in general. Yeah, I love you. But I saw people that spoke in tongue on Sunday, but didn't live anything outside of Sunday morning worship. Mm-hmm. So I had to think about it and say, what, you know, really prayed and say, what is better? Is it better that I live a life that draw folk to Christ or just to be holy on Sunday and speak in tongue, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and that's one of the biggest things that changed, you know, for me. I do still believe in speaking in tongue. I believe that's a gift of God. I believe in prophesying. I believe in laying on of hands. I still believe in people being baptized.
Yeah.
You know, no, I 100% still believe in that.
Yeah, that is good. Me too. I can't remember exactly what, but I know there are things that I've learned from Great Lakes that changed. Even like the way they made us read through the Bible, like that it was pretty good. No, I was going to say a praise break. Yeah, is it called a praise break?
Yeah, praise break.
That's my favorite. So now we go to some of the fun questions I want to ask you, like, you're a movie person. I remember when we were roommates, you had your Netflix, you had everything, and your TV. What is your favorite holiday movie?
Holiday movie?
Mm-hmm.
Like Christmas holiday?
Anything. Any holiday movie. Yeah. Like, okay. I guess it doesn't specify. Yeah, mostly Christmas holiday. But if you have another one that's not Christmas holiday.
Okay. Well, I'm going to just go Christmas anyway.
Yeah.
And that's probably Alvin and the Chipmunks. Yeah,
I don't think I've seen that.
Oh man, it is amazing. The little chipmunks, they can sing their tail off. Let me tell you, like,
I think I need to watch that. Alan Chipmunks. Okay, yeah, I don't think I've heard that. Now, what does that say about you? Since you picked the movie, like, what do you think that says about you?
I mean, I like good singing.
Yeah.
Like good singing. It's a funny movie, so I love comedies. I love stuff that makes me laugh, you know. And it's something that brings joy to my heart, you know. I think, you know.
There's one of my favorite movies that's not a Christmas movie. It's The Little Rascals.
Oh, I love that.
That's my favorite movie. Yeah. My favorite line in that movie is, what's, it goes on the telephone booth and I say, what's the number for 911?
Oh, yeah. Alfalfa.
That's his friends. What's the number for 911? Like, I was dying for that. But yeah, do you have any other favorite movie that's not a Christmas movie? I know you like the Madonna.
Madea.
Madea.
Yeah. I hope folk don't get mad at me, but yes, I do. I do like Madea, most definitely.
Yeah.
You know, like Madea, and I like her little stories too.
Yeah.
But my favorite thing about Madea is the plays. Mm-hmm. If you ever get a chance to watch a Madea play, because, yeah, it's scripted and stuff, but everywhere in there, Tyler Perry, who plays Madea, he drops little nuggets that you can take along with your life, you know? And then, oh my gosh, the singing, they gonna have church somewhere in I'm still apostolic at heart.
Yeah.
That part of me ain't gonna never leave, but they'll definitely have some church somewhere in there. You know, that's what I really love is those plays by Madea.
That's the one thing I remember, because in the summers, you say, oh, I've got to go finish my Madea movie. I'm going to watch that. So just go watch that. If you could go back to give your 18-year-old self a piece of advice, what would you tell him?
Don't go to college.
Yeah.
I am thankful for college. I'm thankful for Great Lakes Christian College. Mm-hmm. Thankful for the friendships. But I'm 25, and if in a month or so I'll be 26, God willing. And I went to college.
Yeah.
I did everything they told me to do. Mm-hmm. I got my degrees. And out of all my siblings, I probably make the least.
Yeah.
And most of them went, you know, different trades and got educated in other ways, you know. Mm-hmm. But if I would have taken up a trade, I probably would be farther along in my life now, you know.
And I remember we had a whole episode about college, if college mm-hmm. is a scam or something, where we had four of the guys on here. We had different takes on that issue, but I feel like my takeaway, not against Great Lakes College, but like in real life, like if you can, the people who have benefited from college and the people who have not benefited from college. So like college is not for everybody. And I would say that. And sometimes, and I've seen this in America, like people go to college because they want to say, oh, I went to college. Not because they look at the future where it's going to go. Because you go to college with people who don't know why they're there. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know why I'm here. My parents sent me to go to college.
You've seen that a lot.
Yeah. And like, they waste a lot of money. So if that's a passion. And but again, to go back to what you said, I feel like, yes, because America is expensive and you need money to pay bills and all that.
Yeah, student loans back up.
But I feel like to the good side of you going to college, there's a lot of lives you've changed and helped people, and people change their lives because you've ministered a lot back in Taylor, and even the people you meet across and share them with the knowledge you added on from Great Lakes. And I think that you could see that as a positive side that you got from there. So,
oh, well, yeah, I'm very thankful for the counseling and the counseling psychology that I learned. I still love those books. Shout out to one of the best counseling psychology professors, Matt Allison.
Yeah. Every person like, who took psychology talks about Matt. Like, he was a great. I took intro to psych with him, and it was great. I liked it.
Yeah, I'm very thankful for the biblical stuff, having people like Sam Long mm-hmm. and John Nugent and Ron Peters. I tell anybody, if they want to learn Bible, get up under some of those. Dan Cameron, just great folk.
Oh, yeah, Dan Cameron, I forgot about him. I had his class, the first very class with him. It was great, 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 great. I had a dream the other day about going back to college, and I hated that dream. Not because I hate Great Lakes, and this is no offense to Great Lakes, but it's just me. So the dream was, it was Lloyd's class, and we had an exam. Bro, I studied. In the dream, I studied, and dude gave me the exam. I didn't know nothing about it. I'm like, I'm going to fail. And I started panicking. I'm like, this is what I hate. This is why I hate college. This is why I hate school. I don't want to take exams. Like, I don't want to take any exams. And I hated it. I woke up and I was not in college, so I was very happy about it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I didn't like those college exams.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Tell me about the three most influential people in your life.
Oh, yeah. Well, y'all know I got to say my mama.
Okay.
My mama, most definitely. And they family, too. but Samuel Bishop. We call him Apostle Bishop.
Okay.
Bishop Samuel Jr. Raised me in church, raised me in holiness, and, you know, taught me how to be a man. And also my Uncle Calvin Jones. Mm-hmm. I always got to give them shout outs. Those men, I didn't have a father growing up, but those men took me up under their wings and taught me how to be a man, taught me how to work, taught me how to do different things. And Calvin came many a days down at the Hellman, hallelujah, you know, and get me when I done got in trouble at school, mm-hmm. you know, many days. And he was always there for my mama. So, you know, those three people have really, my mama and my two uncles have been very influential in my life, you know. And two out of three of them have gone on to heaven. Mm. And my prayer is that I live a life that makes them proud, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's awesome. I got another fun question for you. If you won $10 million, what could you spend it on?
Well, first thing first, I told you I'm apostolic. I got to pay my tithes.
Okay. I think Terry is the most honest person about paying the tithe. Like, I give that to you because every time we got paid, you could take that off first. That's what you take off first.
I try to reverence God as much as I'm possible. I'm not always perfect.
Yeah.
Because, Lord, no, now there's this thing called bills. And I have to pray, Lord, to keep me strong. Yeah. Like, but, right. But yes, I would definitely pay my tithes first. Mm-hmm. I would invest some. I would turn around, and I tell my uncle this all the time, but my uncle, my last living uncle, Calvin Jones, I tell him all the time, look, I got a million, you got a million. Mm-hmm. I get two, you got a million, you know. But I would definitely help him and my aunt, my mm-hmm. aunt Martha Jones, them two, been there my whole life. I got to bless them.
Yeah,
I would want to help my siblings. I would invest. I'd get me a nice house, nothing big, nothing flashy, mm-hmm. and I would start me a business, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm going to live just like I live now, just a little settled things. I might have, y'all know I like lobster tail. I'm going to have a lobster tail in my ramen noodles when I go in, you know, like, but I would try to live as humble as I can, you know, and put something up for my children. Mm-hmm. I got a godson, you know, put it up for him, you know, mm-hmm. put it up one day when God bless me to have all 10 children. Well, not that many, Lord.
I feel like you're one of the people that I could talk to for the whole, like, you and I could have a conversation for like the whole day. But I know there's people here that don't sit down and watch the whole hour, or like they can only watch a certain amount of time. But what's one question you wish I'd asked you in all the questions I've asked you today, and how would you have answered it?
One question. I guess y'all know I'm, every time I get on here, I be very spiritual, but this is how I act all the time. But why do I love God?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the reason I love him is just simply because he's been good. He's been faithful. He was there when mama left. He was there when I had to bury two best friends. He's been there for the last 3.5 years being up here in Lansing. And he's been blessing me. Blessed me when I was at Great Lakes Christian College to pay my bills, you know. And that's really why I love him. And I say it honestly, if he never does anything else, mm-hmm. I'll still love him because of how good he's been to me thus far.
Yeah. No, that's great. And I can connect with that because at one point in my life, I told my friends, like, I know God is great because I don't even need, and this was, I don't know if how people will perceive it, but I said, I don't need the Bible to remind me how God is good.
Mm-hmm.
But just looking through my life can just reassure me how God is good and how God is great because of the way he has provided for me. And I don't need reassurance from the Bible to know that God is real because he has walked, helped me like through this life, and I can testify to that. So that for me, when you say that, I remember that every day. And I don't think that's something that I'll ever forget in my life. The other question I want to ask you, what's a life lesson you've learned to this point?
life lesson. One of the biggest life lessons I've learned is no matter what you face, no matter what you go through, if you put it in the hands of God, he can always work it out for you. That's one of my favorite stories in the Bible, is that young boy that took the two fish and five loaves of bread, and he put it in the hands of God. And he did more, and God, and Jesus, rather, did more with it than what the little boy could have ever done and fed the 5,000. Mm-hmm. And that's the life lesson I take, is no matter what I'm going through, no matter what happens in life, if I put it in the hands of God, he'll work it out. Mm-hmm. He'll make miracles out of no nothing, you know. Just all I have to do is give it to him. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you.
Amazing. That's great. What gets you excited about life?
Living.
Yeah.
I like living. I like living, most definitely. Just being able to hang out with friends, yeah. You know, being able to love going out and just seeing nature, you know, mm-hmm. being able to breathe. I just think I'm so thankful for every day that I have. Just being alive excites me, mm-hmm. you know.
No, that is great. And when you mentioned being with friends, and I talked about this last time, that I liked when we used to hang out, like we every other Saturday we'll go out for breakfast, for dinner, and get together, be in each other's lives. And you can also see, like, it's in these times when we've not been meeting each other, it's when one of us is struggling, something is happening. Like when something happened with your job, we were not together, close together. And I remember that time it was really hard. You even thought about going back home. It's like, there's nothing I'm doing in Lansing. Like, there's nothing. And then we're trying to convince you how, hey, all your friends are here. We're all here for you. But in real sense, life gets busy. Everybody gets busy. We've not mm-hmm. ever met each other. So, and like most of other friends, I'm not going to talk about what they're going through because they're not here. It's like, but like everybody has things that they go through. Like I just had my baby and looking for people to come to your diaper party or things like that. And like, but everybody has things going on. So it gets tough.
Well, yeah.
It's something that I really like and gets me excited getting together and hang out. But I'm glad we did a bonfire the other day and we get together. So that was
cool. That was fun. Most
that was fun. So Brother Terry, we've come to the end of this recording. I love talking to you. I'm thankful for you to answer my questions, and I'm sure some people out there will learn something from your life, from your story, things you've answered. Is there any final thing you want to say on the podcast?
I just thank you for this time.
Yeah.
I hope that y'all was blessed by what I said today.
Yeah. Who would you like to be our next guest on the podcast? And these are people that can drive here or can come to be here. Not the ones over Zoom, but like the ones who can make it here. Who is somebody you'd wish to be on this podcast again?
I would say Mr. Vinnie Mac.
Vinnie Mac. Oh, yeah.
Hey, Vinnie. That's a good, brother Vinnie.
That's a good one. Yeah, Vinnie needs to be on this. Yeah, for sure. Because I also did one with him over Zoom.
Last time with COVID.
Yeah, with COVID. Yeah, you remember that. So I would love to have Vinnie on here. But once again, it's the end of the recording. Thanks for listening to the Ugandan Boy Talk Show. I love to have people over and have a conversation. I'm glad I actually talked about his faith with God and most of the things he grew up in. So that's the end of the recording. Thanks for watching. See you. Bye-bye.
Hey there, this is Bonnie Kibuka, the host of the Ugandan Boy Talk Show. Thanks for watching and listening to my podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you share it with a friend and recommend somebody to this podcast. Don't forget to leave a feedback on this podcast because that's how we grow. And also don't forget to share, like, subscribe, and comment. Join us on our social media platforms on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. So we would love to hear from you. Thank you very much and be blessed.